Bisbee Mining and Historical Museum. This is the 20th of June, 1986. Velasta Mihalic is conducting this interview. I'm interviewing V.F. Wujcik. Mr. Wujcik, would you please give me your full name, and if you're married, your wife's name and her maiden name?
My name is Vlada Frank Wujcik. Been married twice. Once to Rita Ford, her parents came from England, and the second time to Opal Humphreys.
Do you have any children?
Have one.
What was it, and was he born here?
Yeah, born at Copper Queen Hospital on October the 21st, 1945, I think it is.
When did you come to Arizona?
Now tell that. My folks left Texas, my mother and he and my sister and myself, 70 years ago. And we landed here in a big town called Don Luis, Arizona.
How did you get here?
By train.
Where did you live when you first came here?
In Texas. A small town by Fort Worth.
When you came here to Bisbee, where did you live? Did you live in Bisbee?
No, we lived in Don Luis.
And where did you work?
I had various jobs. When I was a kid, I had all kinds of odd jobs, lumber yard, grocery stores, hardware, produce. And later on, when we graduated from high school, there was no work. It was in 1931, and the Depression had just hit, and everybody was going. Everyone was laid off, so we laid around town smoking cigarettes and playing pool.
Was there a union in Bisbee when you were growing up?
Yes, there was. Uh-huh.
Well, did they have health benefits and accident and
death? The company furnished all of that.
Oh, was there many people here?
Oh, about 30,000. That was before the Depression hit. They had about 30,000, maybe a little bit more and less. Anyway, there was no place to live.
What exactly did you do when you worked for the PD?
Well, I started out as a mucker, and we worked. I worked there for a year, learned how to operate a Finley. Then
Just a minute. What's a Finley?
A Finley is an automatic loader. Instead of a man with a shovel, they had this machine that loaded cars.
Oh, I see. Excuse me, but go ahead now.
And I worked there for about a year, and they'd put us to work six weeks of graveyard as a shift that we worked. But to start with, we were straight day shift, and I fooled around and got to be smart, and I learned how to run this mechanical loader. Then we had to work graveyard. We'd work 6 weeks graveyard, then they'd give us 2 weeks a day shift, and single men, you know, they couldn't be working all night. We had to have time, different times, so we could fool around and go across the border, drink and gamble and play around. You know, money was, they had lots of money.
Did you stay as a mucker all these years?
No. From there, there was an opening in the fire station. I got tired of working three shifts. So I went to work at the fire station. I was a call boy, what they call a call boy then, and you'd help the firemen if you had a fire call, and instead of another helper. And there was a volunteer fire department anyway. So I stayed there and...
Just a minute. Where was this volunteer fire department?
Lowell Volunteer Fire Department.
Oh, in Lowell. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. Was Lowell a very big place at that time?
Well, the place was just one street in it, but... You had everything that you needed, from automobile mechanics, garages, groceries, rooming houses, restaurants, 2-3 restaurants, a big market for the Valley Farmers there that the American Legion had put up after World War I, and they had about 100 bays in it. What have been a bay is a place for each farmer to have a shelf or a place to put his produce on. And Mrs. Stoner, for one, she'd bring her whole family, and they're all sleeping bags there underneath the place. And Oh, there was all kinds of activities. There was, but they didn't have no TVs and no radios. Pool hall and gambling joints and bootleg joints and
Was there a show here then?
Yes, there was. There was a big show in Lowell, and later they put one in down in Warren, and there was a big show in Bisbee. In fact, there was two, the Eagle Theater and the Lyric Theater.
Where was the Eagle Theater?
Well, it was about where, right now, Mrs., she has her Grand Hotel right down underneath that.
Underneath the Grand Hotel.
Yeah, that was the Eagle Hall, they called it. And upstairs, they had a big dance hall, and about two doors up was the Elks Club.
Oh, I see.
And then, then you had the big Studebaker agency that Mr. Hodson, he was a mine superintendent for the PD, him and his sons ran then.
Oh, where was that? Up in Bisbee, too?
Yeah, it was up in Bisbee, too. Yeah, there's a big Studebaker garage.
Mm-hmm.
And then Baptist Church and the Masonic Hall were there. But like I was going to say, after I quit the mines and worked for about 6 weeks, then they told me that they were going to open up Division E&F. That's another department of the Copper Queen Mine. And they said, why don't you go up? You worked as a clerk during the ERA and WPA and what have you. You got a little office experience. Go up and see if you can get a job if you don't like the fire department, because he was on 24 hours and off 24 hours. And I said, yes. I went up and seen Mr. Buell, and I got a job with the PD there, and I stayed with the time clerk for a while, and then I took Division E&F with their time and bonus figures and what have you. And I got married to Rita Ford, and that was in 1937. Yeah. And I met her. She was teaching when we was working up there at Central School, and we was betting on the World Series. And I said, well, I'll tell you what you do. I'll make a bet with you. I said, I'll buy you a purse if you win, and you can buy me a dinner if I win. So that's how that arrangement got started.
What happened to your first wife?
She died of a cancer, breast cancer, way back in 45, I think it was, somewhere in there.
What did you do then after you worked on those time cards? Did you stay with the time cards?
No. We went to, the general office. You did a little bit of this and a little bit of that, but then they closed the Porphyry Division down again, and Mr. Henry at that time says, well, Frankie, he says, I got to let you go. He says, I'll give you two choices. He says, you can either go fishing or you can go back underground. He said, you came from underground, but I think we can go ahead and put you back underground. Well, I says, I'll have to go someplace. I said, I'm married, buying a house and what have you, and a car. And he says, yeah, I understand that. He says, but you can go back down underground. I said, well, okay. So they hired me back underground. I went to work on the 2000 from, or 1600 for Max Kahn, and then we went to work on the 2000 for Ray Ernest. He was the boss there, and we stayed day shift there for quite a while. And then the war was starting to break, and they wanted a shift boss, so they run me in as a substitute. And Mr. Marshall, he was a foreman at the Camel, and Mr. Walton, he was a foreman at the Junction. And between the two mines, I was substituting in between there for bossing. And then later I did get me a run. And in the meantime, then they decided to sink the Camel shaft from the 22 to the 2700. So I went to work in the shaft and stayed with that until they got down to from the 22 to the 27. Then from the 27 to the 2900, I worked in the Camel shaft.
Gee, how deep is the Camel shaft?
The Camel shaft's 3,300 now. It
wow,
was. 3,300.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
And then in the meantime, the PD, well, one company couldn't do much without the other, because when we sank and went down below the den, and the den would get all of the water, and yet they were buying the water and the gas and powder and what have you from electricity from the PD. And so they just couldn't operate no more. It takes money to run electricity and motors and what have you underground, especially. People don't realize that, but they're a big overhead in that mining game, and you just don't do it. I said, so they knew that they were bought out. So they sold to the PD, and they had an estimate there about, I don't know, so many thousands of ton left, and they bought the estimate for the ore too, and then the PD took it, taking it over, and then they had their own bosses. So, but the people that were working for the den, if they wanted to, they could go ahead and go back to one of the PD branches, either the junction, or they could go back to the Camel. And the leases were all gone. They used to lease out a lot of prospecting holes and development places. But so then finally it all, PD had everything, and that was it. And I worked for them, oh, I guess it was 35 years, 4 months, 28 days. And I retired.
Got it down pat. What were you when you retired?
Well, after 25 years of underground work, my health played out a little bit on me, and they gave me a job on top, and I worked as a maintenance man on top for 10 years, I guess, up around there before I retired. I was on the surface gang up there.
And that was when you married your second wife?
No, I married my second wife in 1960.
Oh, and what happened to her?
She died a natural death, a heart attack.
What was your most memorable experience while working in the mines? Was there anything that stands out in your mind?
Oh, there's various things. Water. We had to fight water one time. The men were on...
You mean to keep from drowning?
Yeah, they had a great big lake, what they thought it was later, and it flooded the mine, the Camel shaft and the den. They're all hooked up together, and all of these mines have a different wave, different cross cut or a drift, if you want to call it, to go from one shaft to the other. And they hit this water on a 2712 cross cut, and a block or something evidently got in between the water door, and they couldn't close it. There was so much pressure, and I'd say there was an opening of about 12 inches, and I don't know how many thousand gallons per minute was coming through that door, and you couldn't get within 30 feet of the door to do anything. To start with, they try to jack it back and get that lagging or block or whatever was there holding that door open so they could close that door and cut that water off. But it didn't work that way, and that water built up to, at that time it was, we had a big pump on the 2400 that they were getting ready, they was going to put it in this raise if they had to. But our pump station was still on the 22, they weren't in too big of a hurry, the big pump station was. Mm-hmm. Later they had a pump station on the 2700, the same one, but that wouldn't do you no good because the water was already up over it.
Well, what happened?
The pressure receded a little bit, and the lagging or the block, it sort of oozed itself a little slack, and the door finally closed.
Oh, gosh.
And that was that. And then after that, then we had the big fire at the Camel there, and that burnt for 3 years, and they pumped tailings and everything else. And
you left off with the tailings.
Fire.
Yeah. So those two were the most memorable.
Well, it was at that time, yeah. There's all kinds of things happen. That's one good thing about from one day to the next, you don't know what's going to be after your partner blasted or you blasted or something, but that fire, that was something awful. The whole community was full of sulfur smoke and the stink and rotted timber burning. So they decided that they'd go ahead and put a hole up from the surface down to the 1300. That was the first good level on the Camel there, and that's where the fire was at the Camel, and they run this tailing. Tailings is what is waste after the mill has got their ore out that they want out of it, what percent they want, and then the rest is just a waste matter, so they pumped that back underground, and then they'd have pipelines, and they'd run it to whatever vicinity they wanted, and fill that hole full of tailings instead of filling it with surface rock that...
And that would put the fire out?
Well, it would at that time, but you couldn't get to every place at one time. You know, the rock underground, you don't see it burning like an open blaze. The open blaze you see there is what wood is burning. The rest of the ore is so hot that you can't even touch it.
Gee.
But it's still, you can't mine it, you can't do nothing with it. You got to fill it and leave it cool itself off. They don't... And you have your air, what I mean, you take the junction and the camel, right, that's two shafts, that put fresh air down. And then the other one goes out into Saginaw, and the den is an exhaust shaft, and some of your bores over at Don Luis is an exhaust shaft. And you got to have a place to get fresh air into the mine, and you have to have a place for the bad air to go out. And it's interesting, especially the wages. The wages, you know, from $4.95 when we first started to work there 30 years ago, let's say, roughly speaking, to about $20 an hour is an awful lot of difference in money. And you had time build up where, well, you just couldn't quit. And after you got so old, nobody wanted to hire you. So what could you do? You had to stay here with your job and work with the company until you were eligible for Social Security and what little pension you got from the mining company to hold you over. And they had their benefits and everything else. I said, it was nothing to sneeze at. They paid their share of the wages and everything else in accordance with other mines, yes.
And it was, I guess, a good company to work for.
Oh, yeah, there was... Just like I say, but it's your element that does everything. You know, you can't satisfy everybody. Don't make no difference where it is.
Well, I know they had a hospital. Where was the, do you remember where the first PD hospital was?
The first PD hospital, as I know, was built in Lowell up at Superior Hill, they call that. There was a big boarding house there, and it was next to the Bisbee Improvement Ice Plant, and it was next to Bancroft School and Lowell School, and it's Uptown Ridge.
Mm-hmm. And then where did it move to?
From there, they built this one down here in Bakerville.
Oh, this one in Bakerville, is that a PD hospital?
No, that was a CNA hospital.
Oh, and then?
And then before they PD taken this over, their hospital was up by the Copper Queen Hotel, right on the main street there by the grassy park. What the hippies call it today.
Well, didn't the PD have a hospital in someplace there by Johnson Addition?
That was a CNA hospital.
Oh, that was a CNA. Oh,
yeah.
The CNA had two moved.
Well, the one the CNA was using, it was up at Sacramento Stop, they called it then, by the Finn Hall.
Uh-huh.
And until Dr. Bledsoe got this in here built, that is a Hillcrest apartment now was the hospital too.
And then I hear there was a floodgate in Bisbee. Was the floodgate?
Well, that was a diversion gate, you might call it, wasn't it? Got so much water coming down the canyon, well, they'd shut these gates, and the streetcars used to meet there and pass each other. One would be coming to Lowell, Johnson Addition, the other one go up to the end of the canyon, up the it line, and wait for a certain time. They used to meet right there because you had another a stop at the custom house, what they call a custom house, and the streetcar coming from Lowell, if he was ahead of schedule, he'd wait for the one coming from Bisbee so he could have a clear track to go to Bisbee, and the other one would have a clear track to come clear down here to the Galena. Then the one from Warren, they do the same thing. In fact, it was a station so the track could clear and one streetcar could go ahead without the other one still being on the track coming up.
Is that where the people picked up the streetcar?
No. They had regular stops. They had to stop, but you had to walk all a little ways. You know, they had their own streetcar line, and it'd go by the ballpark, and up by the fire station and one, and they had a trestle there, and it'd go up by the high school where it is now, and then from there, then it crossed the highway where the highway is today, and there'd be a stop there for people from south of Bisbee to get onto. And a little bit further down, it had a stop for people in Mason Addition. They could walk over, catch the train, streetcar, which a lot of them did. Instead of walking to Lowell, they could catch it there, and they wouldn't have to get out of their seat, and they could go all the way to Bisbee. See?
Oh, they could ride all the way.
Yeah,
but on the one price, they just had.
No, they'd charge a double, I believe.
Oh. And they had a stop, I guess, in Lowell.
Oh, yeah, Lowell waiting room. Harley Cox had that there, mm-hmm. and it used to come down by the old CNA. They had a big fence there where they used to keep their horses and mules for the watchmen and the riders were to protect their property. Security guards, they call them now. And then they'd stop in Johnson Addition and any places, and they'd stop at all pretty close to all of the shafts so the miners wouldn't have so far to walk.
Oh, that was
nice.
To go
and come, yeah. They'd have a, well, where the old beer garden, they used to call it at that day. That was a Sacramento shaft, and they walked up a little trail and went to the Sac Mine.
Where was the beer garden?
The beer garden is, well, it ain't there no more, but it'd be... I'd say pretty close to where the Lavender Viewpoint is now.
Oh, I see.
But it's all taken in by the pit.
Sure,
It's not there no more.
Just like Johnson Addition now.
All of that.
Was there a lot of people living in Johnson Addition?
There were quite a few people, yes.
Was it a definite ethnic group, or were there all different?
They're all different religions, Finlander, Swede, English, Irish. Anything, they all mixed. There weren't no too many settlements or communities of one nationality or something like that, and that's why everything you see around here now was built up on stilts. Everybody wanted to be close to work. Miners in those days, didn't have automobiles, and I don't think anybody was going to ride a horse for half a day to go to work and another half of a day to go home because they didn't have no home to go to. And there was Well, that was it. No manufacturing centers to amount to anything, and mines is what there was. And they say, well, the cowboys made the mines. The cowboys didn't know such of a thing as make any mine. All they did was a place to work. And you had, like I say, you had all these different variety of nationalities, and there were good ones. There were some good miners. They come from back east, Michigan, Minnesota, and they mined iron and ore back there before Arizona ever started developing anything. And up on the Great Lakes, they had all kinds of boats full of metal and stuff for their smelters and iron factories and what have you.
I understand that the Lowell Lumber Company has been there a long time. Was it there when you were young?
Yeah, it was there when I was young. Yes, it surely was. But that part of Lowell burnt down from where the Brophy Garage is now. Next to the Brophy Garage, there was a Brophy Carriage Company. The men and women and families would come in from the valley, and they'd park their buggies and horses, and they'd get fed and watered and what have you. And they'd do their shopping in Lowell, and then when they got ready, well, they got their buggy and their horse and what have you, and trotted back down to Elfrida, and then the fire broke out, and it burnt all of that section in Lowell clear up to, well, where the American Legion had built their stalls for these farmers to go ahead and...
Oh, clear up to the farmer's market then.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh my, that must have been some fire.
Yeah, that happened in October. I know, I was just a little old pup there, and they told us not to get close to that. Kids were kids, you know.
Where did you live?
We lived in the back of Dad's shoe shop. Dad finally bought his shoe shop there on Junction Avenue. And that was right next to the PD store, and the streetcar used to go up that, and the miners went up to the Junction shaft there, and other people went up to the Lowell and went up to the Sack shaft, and all of the PD's shops were up on that end of town, And you wouldn't believe it or not, but we had a great big stoplight in Lowell. Yeah, when the men would come off of work, they turned that stoplight on so people could go to Warren and others could go up to Bisbee. And 3:30 to 5 o'clock, that stoplight was a-going and a-coming. And the only thing you knew when you was going to Douglas, they changed the Chevron station. They moved it 2 or 3 times. And you go to Douglas, well, you took the left-hand road, and that was cement, and went down by the old, where the Lowell School is now in the ice plant. In the cemetery, that was originally the old cement road that went to Douglas. And to go to Warren, well, you just kept to the right, and go to Naco, you kept to the right. They didn't have no streets in those days. Erie, they call it now, Main Street of Lowell. And you went to Don Lewis, you was in Don Lewis, and you went past Don Lewis, and well, you was going to the Huatulco Mountains. Either going to Ash Canyon, or you was going to Hereford, or Naco.
I was going to ask you, in Lowell, wasn't there a bank long before the First National Bank moved down?
Oh, yeah, that was
the Bank of
Bisbee, I think.
Bank
it
of
was.
Douglas, wasn't
the
it?
Bank of Douglas, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was right there at the bank. There was a 3-story rooming house called the Mason Rooms. And the bank was underneath that, and next door to the bank was a little restaurant at one time. And then later, on the other side, was a grocery store. It started with Cullen Hart, I believe it was, and then Jim Banks owned it. And beyond that, there was another boarding house up toward facing the CNA offices. And Tony Lochner had his tailor store there. From there, you went up Superior Hill to the big boarding house up on Superior Hill, or you go up that way to the hospital, Copper Queen Hospital.
When they had that ice plant in Lowell, you said it was by up there by Superior Hill and Cowan Ridge, up in that area. They
yes.
moved it then down to
where they built the new one down at Lowell.
Oh, down by Lowell.
Yeah. They, well, I tell you what did that. They were mining at the sack there, and what they had there they called the caving system.
Oh.
And they'd, well, it was a different kind of a mining deal then, and this ice plant and all that hill started cracking because they never could fill it to hold the ground. And so then they had to move the ice plant somewhere. And, well, the train finally wouldn't go up to Bisbee on account of the Pullman used to run clear up to Bisbee to the depot in Bisbee there.
Oh, the Pullman train,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, yeah, either
Pullman car, I mean.
Yeah, the passengers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Whether it was a golden, part of the Golden State or part of the Santa Fe Chief, mm-hmm. I don't recall right now. But anyway, the train used to go clear to Bisbee.
Well, that was really,
yeah.
Well, this is really an interesting interview, and I thank you very much, Mr. Wujcik.
Yep, you're more than welcome.